Chapter 2. Red eyes were never a good sign, especially when they showed up on a person who was previously kind and gentle.
Imala?
Julia asked from behind her folding fan.
Are you all right, my dear? I'm fine.
Imala trailed off, though her focus seemed to be way off into the distance.
In fact, I've never been better. I don't think she's Imala anymore.
Nakoma said as her round ears twitched atop her head.
Evan, bring out your sword,
Mariah warned. I conjured up the interdimensional portal that acted as my spatial storage and pulled out the sword of Hatra in a flash.
Evan!
Aliona gasped.
What are you doing?
Before I had a chance to respond, the sword of healing began to glow with a powerful magic. And then Mariah's physical projection appeared before us. Her alabaster skin had a bit of an ethereal glow to it as she stood there in her thin, see-through robe. And her white hair cascaded down over her shoulders as she narrowed her eyes and looked Imala up and down.
What the?
Zoclan began. It's Mariah, I explained. The spirit who resides within the Sword of Healing.
But she's here, my father continued. I've never seen a sword spirit manifest itself like this before.
Magic is a wonderful thing when you do a bit of research and practice, I said to the black dragon.
Evan?
Imarla's soft voice trembled as her almond-shaped red eyes looked down at my sword.
What's going on? Are you planning to hurt me? That is Remna speaking,
Mariah warned.
She is trying to lure you in.
Suddenly, the terrified expression on Imarla's face fell away, and it was replaced by one much more determined and amused.
Hello, sister.
Remna sighed through Imarla's lips, and I realized Mariah was right. We were no longer talking to Imarla, but rather the spirit of the Sword of Shadows.
Release Imarla from your grasp right now,
Mariah demanded.
There are much bigger issues at play, and we don't have time for your ridiculous, selfish games. Ridiculous?
Remna placed her hand on her chest and scoffed.
Selfish? Sister, I'm simply doing what the Iudices put me in this world to do. The Iudices refuse to let us interfere with this world,
the white-haired spirit argued.
They didn't create you to cause chaos wherever you went. And how well are you following that rule, sister?
The other spirit taunted, and she curled her lip in an expression I'd never seen on Imarla's face.
You seem to have grown quite fond of this future king. Don't stand there and tell me you've been completely neutral in all this. I'll say it again,
Mariah warned.
There are much bigger issues at play right now. Much bigger than you or I, or even the Iudices. You need to release this woman right away. I don't think so.
Remna shook her head, and then her grip tightened on the dark sword in her hand.
I am a spirit of the shadows, dear sister. What better way to drape the land in darkness than by killing its beloved hero? Listen to me,
Mariah began, but she was cut off when Remna made her move. The possessed woman took a quick step forward and then, in one swift motion, hauled back with the Sword of Shadows and swung it at Mariah's throat. I leapt in front of the blow, held up my own sword, and parried the attack with a metallic clang. Our blades locked against each other as the spirit tried to overpower me. But then I pushed all my strength into my legs and shoved the woman back with an angry growl. As Remna stumbled backward and lost her balance, I used the opportunity to shoot a strand of web around her legs like a spider. She fell to the ground when I gave it a yank, and then my friends were on her in a flash. Ruslan and Zoclan both grabbed onto Remna's shoulders as they attempted to pin her down, while Nokomis and Skye pressed down on her legs. At the same time, Nike held the tip of his noble sword to the woman's face.
Stay down, please, Nike warned. We don't want things to get messy.
I don't think you understand,
Remna chuckled.
I've been hiding in that sword for centuries, watching and observing silently. I've seen Rama fall to the miasma, and I've seen the coming days where the breach will open. And the Demon King will lay anything left of this world to waste. Things are already messy, and I'm just here to make sure they stay that way.
Can you purify her, Aliona?
I asked my wife, as we watched the spirit struggle against my friend's grasp.
I can try,
Aliona said with a furrowed brow.
Though I've never had to purify a noble sword before.
With that, the Princess of Rama bowed her head and began to whisper an incantation under her breath. And as Aliona spoke, both the Sword of Shadows and Amarla's body began to glow with the same magic that often accompanied the priestess's portals or her other purifying spells. The intensity of the spell increased as it lit up like a Christmas tree. But then suddenly, the bright white light began to dim. Remna chuckled darkly as the pure white spell around the sword turned a dark red for a split second, and then it vanished completely.
You can't purify what is dark to the core,
the possessed woman cackled as she continued to writhe and try to escape.
Hold still, Zoclan hissed. You're not making this any easier on yourself, you know.
I disagree,
Remna snarked. Suddenly, a flash of black lightning erupted out of Amarla's body, and five separate tendrils of the light slammed into Zoclan, Ruslan, and Nike's chests. The other two slammed into Nokomis and Skye's faces, and all five of my friends cried out in pain as they were launched backwards and rolled across the ground like limp ragdolls.
My love!
Julia gasped as she ran over to Ruslan and then bent down to check on him. Go check on the others, I ordered Aliona, as I watched Remna stand back to her feet. Then get to safety.
You can't defeat her without me, Evan,
Aliona argued.
Not without killing her.
Let me handle this, I said. My number one priority right now is keeping you and the baby safe. My wife opened her mouth as if she were going to argue. But she rested her right arm over her growing baby bump and seemed to change her tune. Aliona's face looked disheartened as she gave me a nod, turned away, and then hurried off to check on Zoclan.
Where do you think you're going?
Remna asked as she held out her sword and blasted a shot of black light toward Aliona. Oh, fuck no. I instantly summoned up my fire magic and created a large round shield of flames directly in the path of the incoming blast. My heart fell into my knees, though, when I saw the tendril of dark magic simply bend and then change its trajectory mid-air, and it passed right over my shield like an Olympic hurdler before it continued toward Aliona. The attack was gaining on my wife quickly, and I was fast running out of time to protect her. So in a move of desperation, I summoned up my super speed ability and ran toward the beautiful princess. I jumped in front of her seconds before the tendril of darkness would have struck, and the world turned black for a second when the bolt of magic slammed into my chest and sent me tumbling backwards, end over end. I slammed into the nearby palace wall before I jumped back to my feet and grabbed my aching chest. Even though my insta-healing abilities were already working, and the pain was subsiding by the second, it felt like I'd just been hit by a freaking freight train. The dull pain echoed through my body as I stood my ground and tried to figure out just what I was dealing with here. But I didn't have too much time to think because two more tendrils of dark magic launched out of the Sword of Shadows and headed right for me. This time, though, I was prepared. I summoned up my precognition abilities, and two bright lines of gold appeared in the sand in front of me. I instantly conjured a flaming shield in my left hand as I followed the path on my right. And seconds later, one of the tendrils slammed directly into my shield. I grunted as I dug my feet into the ground and felt the shockwave of the blow against my arm. My feet slid back into the sand a few inches, but I was able to hold my own against the tendril of dark magic. The second tendril came at me from the left, and I was just barely able to roll out of the way before it hit me. As I came up from my dodge, I took a swing at the tendril with my sword, and there was a magical buzzing sound as the blade sliced through the darkness and caused the entire tendril to explode into a puff of black smoke. "What am I dealing with here, Mariah?" I asked the spirit of my sword.
"Dark magic,"
Mariah answered.
"The likes of which can only be defeated by the power of purity or a weapon containing a pure spirit like myself."
Remna's red eyes glowed as she stared me down. And then I saw six more fucking tendrils erupt out of the Sword of Shadows. They all flew toward me in a flash, and I did my best to try and dodge, block, and parry the incoming onslaught. I dodged the first two tendrils before I summoned a shield of fire and knocked away a third. Then I took a swing at the fourth with my Sword of Healing, though it was quick to twist away to safety. The final two tendrils, however, caught me off guard as they wrapped around my ankles and yanked me off of my feet. My breath was knocked out of me when I hit the ground hard, but then the tendrils lifted me up into the air and held me upside down like a snared deer. I tried to slice the damn things with my blade, but a third tendril grabbed me by the wrist and held my arm away from my body with the strength of a roided-out gorilla. Then two more tendrils sprouted forth from the Sword of Shadows before they rocketed across the courtyard and slammed into my chest. I let out a growl of pain when they hit me, and then again when the magical tendrils started to give me a series of 1-2 punches in rhythmic fashion. Thankfully, my healing abilities fixed me up practically the second after I was injured, but it still hurt like hell in the moment. Remna's face was twisted into a devilish grin that looked wrong on Amarla's features, and the possessed woman held her sword out in front of her as she began to slowly approach.
"The Black Dragon Lord of Rama,"
she giggled.
"You have no idea what sort of dark magic that's in store for—"
The spirit's taunt was cut short when a glowing green arrow stabbed into her hand and then caused her flesh to bubble, smoke, and sizzle. The possessed woman dropped the Sword of Shadows as she grabbed her arm and yelped in pain, and the tendrils all disappeared in a puff of dark smoke. I fell to the ground with a dull thud before I sprang back to my feet and saw both Ruslan and Dzoklan approaching our opponent. Ruslan's hands glowed with his fire magic, while Dzoklan had a bow and arrow made up entirely of green acid magic. "Don't hurt her," I warned as my friends got closer. "Imarla is still in there, even if we can't see it right now." "A simple thank you for saving me would have sufficed, son," Dzoklan said with a hint of sarcasm in his voice. "We will not harm her," Ruslan promised. "But if it comes down to choosing between saving her or saving our son, well, that is a choice on which Dzoklan and I can both agree." "It won't come to that," I said, as I sprayed a bit of my healing magic out of my mouth and right into Amarla's body. The possessed woman's eyes stared at her hand as it slowly healed back up, and her mouth fell open as she let out a gasp.
"You're helping me?"
Remna chuckled, and then her surprised expression twisted into one of devilish glee.
"You're more foolish than I thought."
The spirit started toward her fallen sword, but Dzoklan kept her at bay when he shot an acid arrow into the ground in front of her. "Don't even think about it," my father warned. "We have you surrounded." Then Nike stepped up to my side with the Sword of Light in his hand and at the ready, and the noble held out his blade in front of him as he surrounded it with white light and stared down at Amarla. "Are you all right?" I asked my brother.
"I simply had the breath knocked out of me," he explained. "It is nothing a long soak in a hot bath won't fix."
Nokomis and Skye approached next, and they had their noble swords at their sides as they waited for Remna's next move. They didn't have to wait long. Remna reached for her sword again, and this time it was Ruslan who warned her with a small fireball that exploded a few inches away from her face. The possessed woman let out a yelp as she shielded her eyes and took a step back, and then I made the decision to remove all temptation from her reach. I shot a string of webbing, caught the Sword of Shadows in my grasp, and prepared to pull it away. That was a fucking mistake. The second my webbing touched the damned blade, it felt like I'd just grabbed onto an electric transformer. Jolts of pain shot through my body as I trembled and tensed up. And then my vision went dark as the sensation of impending doom seemed to overtake me.
"Lord Evan!"
Mikey gasped from what sounded like far away.
"Don't touch him!" I heard Dzoklan warn. "Unless you want to go through the same thing!"
Suddenly my vision returned, and I was standing on a beach that looked out onto the sight of giant crashing dark waves. The water around me stank of mildew and sludge, while the sand underneath my boots seemed to be made of dark, molded materials and had a distinct black tint to it all. Was this Imarla's spiritual sea? The sky was dark in this area, though I could clearly see the outline of a figure in the sky as it floated toward me. The figure had its hands out to both sides as it approached, and I could see several of the same dark black tendrils that came out of the Sword of Shadows were floating behind the shape as it moved. When it got a little bit closer, I could see the figure was a woman, and the tendrils were coming out of her back and hovering around her body like Medusa's hair. The woman had long, unkempt black hair with a giant white streak right in the very middle, and her body was covered in nothing but a black robe that wasn't even tied. The robe billowed around as she floated over the sea, which meant I could see every inch of her pale, naked body, from her womanhood to the small yet perky breasts that peeked out from the edges of her clothes. Even though this woman was beautiful, I knew she wasn't somebody to be messed with. This had to have been Remna. Before I could make any further observation, my vision went white and I heard Ruslan's voice echoing through my brain.
"Evan!" he called out. "Evan, can you hear me?"
Suddenly my vision returned, and I found myself staring up into my adopted father's emerald eyes. They were full of worry as he hovered over my body, but his ears drooped, and he let out a sigh of relief when he saw that I was conscious again.
What happened? I asked hoarsely.
"You were knocked out cold," Ruslan explained. "The second you touched the sword."
"How long was I..."
I began, but then I heard the clanging of metal against metal.
I sat straight up and then looked over to see both Nike and Zoclan engaged in combat with Remna.
Zoclan took swings at the woman with his green, acid magic sword, while Nike parried and attacked with the Sword of Light. Even though it was two against one, Remna seemed to be holding her own against the swordsman.
"You were only unconscious for 1 minute or so," Ruslan said. "Are you all right?"
"I think so," I admitted,
as I stood to my feet and grabbed my sword. "I'm pretty sure I just saw Remna in the flesh, metaphorically speaking at least."
"It was her, Evan,"
Mariah confirmed.
"She has gotten even more powerful than the last time we were together."
"How the fuck do we stop her then?" I asked the spirit. "We can't kill Amarla."
"That wouldn't do much good anyways. Killing Amarla would just cause my sister to retreat back into the Sword of Shadows until the next unsuspecting victim picked it up and was overtaken by her spirit."
"Why is it so bad with Amarla, though?" I questioned. "The last two people who possessed the sword seemed perfectly fine."
"Amarla is the rightful heir to the blade, so she had a more powerful bond with Remna than with any of the other random people who may have held the Sword of Shadows in the past. Unfortunately, this also means my sister is able to influence Amarla much more efficiently than her previous wielders."
"Then how do we break this?" I demanded. But then I had to use my foresight powers to evade an incoming attack. I twirled away as another tendril of black magic zipped past my position, and then I slashed it in two with a swipe of my blade. I somersaulted away from another tendril just as it smashed into the ground behind me, and I felt the spray of sand as it rained down on my back.
I don't know, Evan,"
Mariah admitted.
"I've never thought about it before."
"There has to be some way," I repeated, before I parried another tendril. "There's no way the Iudices made Remna to be evil. That doesn't really sound like something they'd do."
"She has been that way for as long as I have known her."
I still didn't know if I believed that. From everything I'd read about the gods and the Iudices, I didn't think they would just create an evil spirit of chaos, toss it into a noble sword, and then let it do whatever the fuck it wanted here in the world of men. There had to be some sort of underlying issue with Remna. And if there was an issue, that meant there should also be a fix. The problem was, nobody seemed to have any idea on how to fix it. For now, we all just needed to focus on disarming the spirit and trying to settle her down. Remna ducked underneath an attack from Sky before she caught the blue-skinned beauty with a tendril, lifted her into the air, and then used her as a makeshift baseball bat. Sky's body slammed into Nokomis, Nike, Zoclan, and Ruslan, and all four of my friends were tossed backwards to the ground. Then Remna tossed Sky off into the distance, where the half-Nepan woman hit the courtyard wall and then crumpled to the ground, unconscious. I needed to get back into the fray, and fast. This time, when I charged forward, I called upon my super speed ability. I closed the gap between Remna and I without much effort, and I was way too fast for the blows of any of her tendrils to connect as I ran. Once I got a bit closer, I took a non-lethal swing with the flat end of my blade and slammed it across Remna's face. She let out a grunt of pain as her head whipped back, and she stumbled backwards a few steps. I felt a twinge of regret for hitting the beautiful woman, but all of my regret disappeared when she let out an inhuman roar and tried to stab me in the gut. I knocked the Sword of Shadows away before I lifted my boot and slammed it into Remna's chest. She fell down flat on her ass, but then she was quick to use the tendrils of her blade to raise herself back up onto her feet. As she came up, she tossed out her foot, and I saw stars as it slammed into my face and sent me stumbling backwards. I regained my balance and vision just in time to sidestep another attack, and then I called up my fire abilities and took aim straight for the hilt of Remna's weapon. I blasted a tiny fireball square into the sword's hilt, and the impact of the blow knocked it out of her hand completely.
"She's disarmed!"
I called out to my friends. Nike, Nokomis, Ruslan, and Zoclan were just getting back onto their feet, but they immediately jumped into action. Ruslan made a swirling motion with his left hand, and a small tornado of fire erupted around the entirety of the Sword of Shadows. Remna made a hissing noise as she reached for the sword, but all that happened was she burned her hand on Ruslan's magic. Then I shot a blast of my webbing around her outstretched hand, gave it a yank, and pulled the possessed woman down to the ground once more. This time I wasn't going to let her escape. I called upon my nature magic, and several small tendrils of rock sprouted up out of the ground and then wrapped over the top of Amarla's body like a horizontal cage. The possessed woman tried to fight against her restraints, but it was no use. Without her noble sword, Amarla was just a simple half-mermaid, half-dwarf, and that meant she was easily overpowered. After a few seconds of struggling, Remna finally gave up and laid still. But as my friends and I began to approach, she started to laugh diabolically.
"Now what?"
the spirit sneered.
"Do you plan to just keep me here in this prison for the rest of this woman's life?"
For a half second, I considered taking her to the Blue Tree Guild's airship. But then I realized Remna was right. Even if we locked her away, she would still be possessing Amarla's body, and we wouldn't be able to do the Redeemi Vincio ceremony. And if I couldn't bond myself to the Sword of Shadows, I'd never be powerful enough to defeat the Demon King or close the breach permanently.
"Shall we call Laika, my lord?" Nike asked. "I'm sure there are plenty of cells in the airship still."
"No," I shook my head. "We don't have time for that."
"What else can we do, son?"
Ruslan asked, as he rubbed his back and groaned.
"We certainly cannot keep fighting here much longer."
"What's wrong, Pops?" I chuckled. "Back issues?"
"I was knocked down one too many times during the battle," the fox demihuman admitted. "My old body can't take as much excitement as it used to."
I snickered as I summoned up my healing breath and then sprayed a mist of rainbow glitter onto my adopted father's body. The mist concentrated itself on his back, and before I knew it, Ruslan stood straight up and let out a long, satisfied sigh. "Better?" I asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Much better. Thank you, son."
"What are we going to do with her, then?" Zoclan interjected. "She's right. We can't just keep her imprisoned forever, and killing her seems like it's out of the question."
As we all pondered what to do about the possessed woman, Nokomis knelt down and placed her hand softly against Amarla's shoulder. The second she did so, Nokomis's eyes widened, and her eyebrows lifted as her spotted tail began to flicker back and forth. Tears started to stream down the snow leopard demihuman's face, as her mouth fell agape, and then she slowly stood back up.
She's scared,"
Nokomis said in a somber tone.
"Scared?" Zoclan scoffed. "She seems like the furthest thing from scared to me. Angry, murderous, and psychotic may be, but scared?"
"She is scared,"
Nokomis argued.
"I'm sensing the emotions of Amarla inside of that spirit-possessed body, and she's terrified." "Evan?"
Aliona's voice called out from the other side of the palace door.
"Is it safe now?"
"For now," I promised. "But don't let your guard down too much, and whatever you do, stay the hell away from the Sword of Shadows." The main door of the Lunar Palace creaked open, and out stepped both Julia and Aliona. The two women cautiously walked toward us before Julia threw her arms around Ruslan, and Aliona took my hand in a tight squeeze.
Gods, Evan.
Aliona trailed off as she stared down at the scowling Remna Imarla.
This is horrible.
Are you sure you can't purify her? I asked once more. But my wife shook her head.
I already tried,
she sighed.
I could try again, but we both know what the result would be. There are other spells I could try, but they would run the risk of hurting Imarla in the process.
Shit. So we couldn't purify the Sword of Shadows itself, and anything we did to Amarla's physical body could harm the half-mermaid who was trapped inside Remna's evil mind. Then the light bulb in my head turned on. Wait, I pondered aloud as the thoughts began to form. What if we did those other spells to Remna directly?
What do you mean?
Aliona questioned.
Indeed, Evan.
Mariah joined in.
Remna's spirit is currently one with Amarla's body. You cannot simply isolate one half or the other.
Sure we can, I said with a sly smile. Inside Amarla's spiritual sea. Impossible, Zoclan scoffed. A mortal being cannot invade another's spiritual sea. Only beings of pure spirit energy can do such a thing. Then how did I get there? I demanded, and my father's mouth fell agape. You were there? He gasped. I was, I confirmed. When my webbing touched the Sword of Shadows and I passed out, I was transported into Amarla's spiritual sea, and I saw Remna there, Remna in her true form.
Just from touching the sword?
Aliona asked.
It sent you to her spiritual sea.
I don't know how, I admitted, or why. All I know is when I touched that thing, I woke up on a run-down beach and saw a spirit with a bunch of tendrils and a black robe floating around in the sky.
Then maybe you just need to touch it again?
Nakoma suggested. That seems just a little bit dangerous, Zoclan said as he pursed his lips. For all we know, this could be exactly what the Sword of Shadows wants. Maybe it gets you inside Imala's spiritual sea, snares you with its tendrils, and then takes over your body. We'd all be super fucked if that happened. Maybe, I said with a shrug. But that's a risk I'm willing to take if it means we can save Imarla.
How will I go there with you, Evan?
Aliona asked.
Will I need to touch the sword as well?
Not necessarily,
Mariah's voice explained as the spirit's figure manifested in front of us.
When Evan was transported into Imarla's spiritual sea the first time, I was there with him. I'm not exactly sure how it worked, but I would wager it had something to do with the fact we have previously formed a soul bridge.
So what? I asked as I tried to wrap my head around it all. I can just call anybody I formed a soul bridge with into the spiritual sea with me?
I don't think it's so simple,
the white-haired spirit admitted as she stroked her chin.
There has to be a reason I was able to come along with you, but nobody else was.
Come on,
Remna taunted from her face-down position.
You should just let me out of here, and then I'll show you how to get into my spiritual sea.
No chance, I rolled my eyes.
Please, Evan?
Imarla's regular voice asked.
Evan, please let me out of here. I'm scared.
Even though the sound of the beautiful pink-haired woman's voice made my heart flutter, I knew I couldn't give in. Remna seemed to be a very insidious spirit, and I wasn't about to let her free again.
I've got it,
Nokomis finally declared.
Mariah was able to go with you to the spiritual sea because she was in your hands, quite literally.
That's right,
Mariah gasped.
You were holding the Sword of Hatra in your hands when you touched the Sword of Shadows, which means...
I have to be touching whoever I want to take with me, I confirmed.
And they have to be bonded to you through a soul bridge,
Aliona added.
You couldn't take Zoclan or Ruslan or Julia, for instance.
I don't want to take all of you anyway, I explained. If I get in there and something goes awry, I need a few people out here in the real world to make sure Remna doesn't break the restraints and get her sword again. I'm going to take Mariah and Aliona, and that's it.
Evan,
Nakoma said as she touched my shoulder with a worried frown.
That is not many warriors.
This is a shot in the dark, Nakomis, I explained to the snow leopard. There is a slight chance things may go awry, and if that happens, I want to make sure there are plenty of people on the outside to wake us up or to protect the city. How difficult could it be? Zoclan asked. The three of you go into the spiritual sea, kill that evil bitch, and then get back out here. Sounds easy enough.
We can't kill her,
Aliona reminded my father.
Even though Remna has proven to be problematic, Lord Evan won't be able to gain the Sword of Shadow's powers without her present.
This is getting really confusing, my father grumbled as he rubbed his temples.
We have to get inside of Amarla's spiritual sea, and then we need to purify Remna from inside there.
Aliona explained.
That's the only way Amarla will be free of her possession.
And what if she can't be purified? Zoklan demanded.
Then we trap her just like I did with Malo, Rana, and Karis. I reminded everyone of the artifact spirits I'd locked away in my spiritual sea. One way or another, we're going to free Amarla from this terrible fate.
You must be careful, Evan, Rosslyn warned. It is one thing to be accidentally transported into the spiritual sea of another, but to intentionally try to breach another dimension of your own free will. That is a complicated bit of magic to master. You will need to be calm and focused if you want to remain in control of the situation.
Calm and focused, I pondered aloud. And then I let out an aha. We can do it in the River Moonstone House.
Evan, my adopted father gulped. Taking an enemy into our most sacred location?
We don't have another choice, Pops. I shook my head. It's the place where my magic is the most concentrated, which will help me take Aliona and Mariah into Amarla's spiritual sea without any incident. Ruslan's fox ears flattened against his head as he frowned and rubbed his crow's feet covered eyes. Then he took a deep breath and nodded.
All right, he conceded. How do we get Amarla there, though?
I can take the sword, Zoklan offered.
Remna apparently doesn't give two shits about me, so I can touch it without any problem.
Lucky you, I said with a half-smirk. And then I pointed to Amarla's body. She's going to stay right here. We only need the sword for now, so you all just remain here with her and keep her restrained while I'm gone.
We'll do our best,
Nokomis said.
Should we worry about Skye?
She just took a nasty blow to the head, I explained, and then I shot a bit of healing breath over to her position. Once she wakes up, explain what's going on and have her help, okay?
Please be careful, son, Ruslan said with sad eyes. And please don't let the River Moonstone House get destroyed in the process.
Wouldn't dream of it, Pops, I winked. And then I motioned for Aliona and Mariah to follow me. Zoklan seemed to hesitate for a moment as he stood at the Sword of Shadows, but then he reached down and scooped it up in his left hand. Like before, the sword didn't seem to affect the dragon, so he just held it at a distance from his body as he walked behind us.
You'll never purify her!
Remna's voice grew distant as we ran.
She's mine now, just like all the ones who came before her.
We hurried out of the courtyard and ran over to the gardens of the Lunar Palace, where our secret staircase was located. I had been to this spot a million times by now, so it was practically second nature to me as I located the stone tile in the ground that led to the subterranean level of the palace. As it opened up, Zoklan let out a sharp whistle.
Hidden underground magic room? He chuckled. There must be a lot of good shit hidden down there.
Not really, I explained as I began down the stairs. It's just a peaceful place to meditate and cultivate, that's all. The four of us descended the stairs for a bit until the world around us turned silent. All I could hear were the echoing sounds of our footfalls as we moved down the staircase, along with the distant trickle of the calm river that ran through the cave. Soon the walls around us began to glow brightly with silver and opal-colored moonstones, and we came to a stop at the very bottom of the stairs. I led Zoklan, Mariah, and Aliona over to the empty spot I normally used to meditate, and then I got down onto my knees. My three allies followed my lead, and Zoklan placed the Sword of Shadows down between us.
"Are you sure you want to do this, son?" my father asked with a hint of concern. "I'm going to be completely honest with you. If things go awry, I don't know if there's anything I can do to help."
"They won't," I reassured the dragon. With these two awesome, powerful women at my side, Remna doesn't stand a chance. Just be careful. Zoklan pursed his lips and sighed. Are you ready? I asked the two women beside me. Down here in the isolated, sacred room, I could already feel my power growing by the second. I wasn't sure if it was because this room had a special place in my heart, or if it really was a mystical cave that bestowed extra powers onto me. Either way, I could feel a surge of power deep inside my body, and I knew it was now or never. Aliona and Mariah both took each other's hands before they held them out in front of me. I placed my hand in the pile before I sucked in a deep breath, and then we all lowered our arms down toward the Sword of Shadows. The second our hands touched the blade, it lit up with a powerful glow of red light that radiated off the gemstones in the wall and lit up the whole room. Then I felt the jolt of electricity shoot through my body like before, and the world turned black.